The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, now experiencing what weathercasters are calling an inland hurricane. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we have survived the big blow of 2010. We pray that you are doing okay and that you have electricity and lots of snacks.
Yeah. The low-pressure system that moved in from Canada across Minnesota today, they said it was the second lowest temperature, the second lowest
barometric reading,
right. That if this were out over the ocean, this would be a Category 3 hurricane mm-hmm. that swept across the Midwest today.
And probably because it didn't do anything to New York or L.A.
Yeah, nobody on the coast knows. But we're letting you know, because here in the heartland, we pay attention to such things. In fact, interestingly enough, this was the most severe storm in the Great Lakes region since the one that took down the Edmund Fitzgerald.
It's funny you should say that, because when I was watching the Indianapolis coverage of it, of course, we were trying to see whether or not the bunker would blow away. And I got to tell you, we were all prepared to go. I had all of our medicines.
Mm-hmm.
As we get older, that collection
right.
gets bigger, and a medical supply and first aid kit and all the other things you need, crank radio, you know, mm-hmm. all the survival stuff, because we were ready to go down to the bunker. And by we, I mean Sam and myself and our company, the lovely Alice and Sam Miller,
mm-hmm.
and Sam's lovely too. But we were watching the Indianapolis news to figure out what was going on. And where was I going with this?
I'm not sure.
You know what, folks? I have had one Krispy Kreme too much. Too many. And that is why I was not here yesterday. I was busy surviving my Krispy Kreme assault that was brought up from Clarksville, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I do so appreciate that, but I honestly can't remember where I was going. I know I'm going to get an email about that. Okay, let's see, senior moment.
Yeah, well, it does get us the half price discount on Wednesdays at the Goodwill, so.
My senior moments?
Yeah.
Yes.
It
all depends. I love you too, honey. You're wonderful.
Well,
maybe later on I'll think of what that was. And if you want to send me an email, we'll laugh along to it. But there's so much to talk about.
There is. Boy, you know, there are things swirling as the winds, like the winds here in the heart of America, economic, political, and just some flat evil out there.
And flat out lying. And the top liars of the day are those people making the green labels for the articles you're buying in your big box stores and at Walmart. Apparently, according to a Wall Street Journal article today, the green labeling that you see isn't necessarily true.
So this stuff that you buy at the store that's supposed to be good for the environment is not really...
It's the great offense of greenwashing.
So why...
Not whitewashing.
Why,
it's greenwashing.
Why would they want to lie about stuff like that?
Well, I mean, do you think that there are people out there that would prefer to buy something with a label that says this will save energy?
Perhaps, because the sense of self-satisfaction that comes from buying something with the green label is worth paying a few extra bucks,
don't you think? The Energy Star compliant label?
Uh-huh.
Liars.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
I thought there was a government agency that enforced that.
Well, you'd think so. Who's enforcing the government agency? The Underwriters Laboratory and other organizations like that said they'd be happy to take a look at these, but apparently many of the people who are deemed
qualified or
liars.
Liars.
that's the technical term. That let's see. The study examined more than 5,000 consumer products in 34 stores in the U.S. and Canada, and found 12,061 green claims about among the infractions found, fibbing about having no proof, having a proof of environmental claims, vague or poorly defined marketing language such as all natural, and the use of fake labels designed to imply a product has third-party certification, star, or endorsement of its claims.
That's interesting. So 5,000 products and 12,000 claims of environmental
friendliness. When can I not believe the labeling in Walmart and my grocery store? I mean, come on. If I go in there and it says it's healthy for me and I should buy it, they're not lying to me, are they? Please tell me they're not.
Well,
the Krispy Kremes that are 100% all natural.
Well, see, now that's one of those
and
things
imported
that you know
from southern Indiana.
That you know going in is probably not the best for you. And the scary thing is that the government is trying to use this type of labeling and this type of motivation.
Coercion
to force us to buy things and participate in things that are, you know, for our own good.
Well, you know, we're being told over and over again, green is good. So you go and you see these labels and
right.
What are you going to reach for?
Well, you know, the green stuff. But think about this. You talk about the labels on food products, okay, that this is all natural and this is low fat, now has oat bran or whatever.
It grows hair.
And you've got city governments, municipal governments around the country. New York City is a great example where they want to ban too much, butter and salt in the meals. So if they're depending on the restaurant to report on this stuff or the manufacturer.
Or the label to say that it has no butter or... Mm-hmm.
Right. How do you trust that? Here's another example. We've not really talked about this much, but corn syrup. Okay.
High fructose
corn syrup. They're trying to relabel it as corn sugar. Now, even though the body doesn't process it like
no,
sugar.
It is not. Sorry, it's technically a sugar, but when we think of sugar, we're thinking of table sugar.
Right. There are a lot of chemical compounds that are technically sugars that you shouldn't
sucrose
eat.
Sucrose is what we normally get, granulated sucrose.
Right, and this
has been bleached and.
Yeah. But still, I mean, the body processes it a certain way. It does not process fructose the same way. And
no,
there's some
it doesn't.
Evidence
it's a
to suggest
chemical.
That it is not necessarily really good for you, which is why you're starting to see ads from like Snapple and Pepsi or whatever saying, you know, written it with real sugar. Well, what have we been drinking all along? But the manufacturers of high fructose corn syrup are trying to relabel it now as corn sugar. And you watch, eventually they're going to try to petition to just call it sugar.
I think if they put corn liquor on there, they'd sell a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, and that'd be false advertising too.
Well, yeah, I said, well, let's see, where else can we go? Because Derek came home from work. He's working hard over there selling that stuff. And he's trusting in me to look at you know, I got to tell you, remember yesterday there was an earthquake over in the Sumatra, Indonesia region?
Same.
Today, Mount Merapi is starting to rumble and spit out ash. Mm. And this is a volcano that erupted terribly in 1930 and killed 130 people. By the way, watch the 13s and the stories that we report now and the UC PID News. Then it's supposedly about every 6 to 8 years or so it erupts. And the major eruption, the worst one was 1930. Then in 2006, there was an eruption that I'm trying to think of the number of people it killed. Well, I think it was only two, which is not good. But again, there was a pyroclastic flow and the ash flow killed these two people.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. In 2006, there's this gatekeeper, a local man who was appointed by the local royalty to be the gatekeeper for the spirit of the volcano.
Oh, really?
Yep. He's a cigarette-smoking guy who goes up and talks to the volcano and reports back as to whether or not it's safe to stay in the villages that surround the area.
Huh.
Well, in 2006... And it's an inherited title, apparently, because the original man who was appointed has since passed away. His son has taken on the job. But even his son, who I think he was born in 1927, so he's no spring chicken.
No.
He is... where did I read that maybe they thought he had would live a life? Sorry, rabbit trail. He, in 2006, said, I will not tell my people to leave. I will not leave. I am going up to talk to the volcano and to talk to God. Now, capital G, in the reports that I read, said talk to God, capital G.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Muslim. Who's he talking to?
Well, he's not talking to Jehovah or Yahweh.
No, you wouldn't think so, would you?
No.
So he said he went up to the top and he communed with God and he prayed, please do not erupt the volcano. Please save our people. The volcano quieted the next day.
Hmm. Interesting.
This was in 2006. He is now once again saying, no, no, things will be fine. I'm staying here. It's not looking very good for the people who need to be evacuated. And the number of people who need to be evacuated are 13,000.
Huh.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And coincident with this eruption, the rumbling was a 7.7 magnitude quake this morning undersea, which killed 113 people.
I know.
Yeah. Hmm.
The 13s, they keep coming, and this is really not good. A lot of earthquakes over the world that have been taking place over the last 24, 48 hours. This is not atypical when you have a major quake. Things kind of ring around the earth. But for this, it's not good news that Merapi is waking up.
No.
In fact, the volcanologists are taking a look at this. There have been big bangs coming out of it. And they're looking at it and saying, based on everything they're observing so far, this could be the worst one since 1930.
That's not a good sign.
No. No, it isn't.
Basically, run.
Doctor Who reference.
Yeah. No, I shouldn't say that, you know, tongue-in-cheek, and forgive me for making light of
it. Well, and I really want to see what happens with this so-called gatekeeper. I mean, if he tells people not to go and if he prays to capital G God, and once again, the mountain quiets down.
Hmm.
You know, primarily Muslim. And in fact, the highest per capita number of Muslims is in Indonesia.
That's true, which is kind of a surprise. You don't really think about that. But yeah, Indonesia has more Muslims than anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, speaking of Muslim lands, you mentioned that there was something going on in Afghanistan with Hamid Karzai.
He says that Blackwater is behind all the bad things.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, that's really intriguing. There was a story that came out yesterday in the LA Times in which Mr. Karzai admitted that his office is taking in about $2 million a year from Iran.
Isn't that interesting? Well, you know, there
bags of cash. Literally, oh, it's just to help the... you know, the running of the office. We have expenses. We make lots of copies.
I've got lots of hats. I must buy my hats.
He does have some cool hats.
He's got cool hats, and he wears that coat.
The one he's got there, you know, it almost looks like the little Krispy Kreme, you know, cap that they wear at the Krispy Kreme store, except it just doesn't have the logo.
He could get one for free if he'd just go to Krispy Kreme. He'd save so much more money. No, there are lots of things going on in the Middle East, and Sam's alerting.
He's chasing Sam.
I know. There are lots of things going on in the Middle East. I have to mention, if you are not aware, we have two carrier groups in the Persian Gulf right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lots and lots of firepower there. And we're about to build a, wait for it, $6 billion.
Billion with a B.
Base in...
Oh, what was
the
island?
Guam.
Yeah, but Guam, right, to counter the Chinese presence in the Pacific.
Yes.
Oh, and right on cue, there's Sam with the donut cap. Yes, thank you. That's am I wrong?
I'm not sure I can wear it with the
headphones on. It may not stay.
if you hear a crinkling sound, it's the donut head coming over. I don't think it's going to stay on our heads.
But seriously, Hamid Karzai looks like he's wearing he has a fur Krispy Kreme hat, is basically the picture
I think that's
I'm
what
at.
It is. But
seriously, this base in Guam is one of many.
Have you looked at a map of the U.S. bases around Iran? We ring Iran with U.S. bases.
Well, you know, let's be honest. That's the real reason that we invaded Iraq and Afghanistan, so that we could surround Iran. You look at the Project for the New American Century, the letter that was sent to Bill Clinton by the neocons, the ones who came to power with George W. Bush, and essentially said, look, if you will take on Iran, we'll back you. And I think we're seeing the real reason that we embarked on these adventures.
Well, it's ramping up. You know how Turkey has been on again, off again, Euro?
Mm-hmm.
We want to be in NATO. We don't. We want to be in NATO. We like the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Iran. We love you. Please, Europe, like us.
Mm-hmm.
They're mugwumps. They're on their mug is on one side and their wump is on the other. They won't be able to pull that off for very long, because despite the fact that they have just inked a deal with Raytheon to make the antenna arrays for the Patriot missiles that are being shipped to the Arab Emirates.
Okay.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Despite that fact, they are being asked to host a missile defense array.
Turkey is.
In Turkey. Now, if they do that, they're going to make the Arab buddies really mad. If they don't do that, then it says to Europe and NATO, I don't want to play with NATO anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're really Muslim.
They walk a tightrope.
They do.
Ever since Ataturk, they have leaned toward the West in a more secular government, but their government now really is a Muslim government, and they really, I mean, Erdogan, the prime minister, saw the political capital he could gain by supporting the so-called, what do they call them, mercy ships or rescue ships for Gaza?
Yeah, the so-called mercy ships, yeah.
And that,
I think that backfired on him.
Scored a lot of points within the country,
yeah.
But internationally it certainly didn't help him any.
No.
Now, he's playing an interesting card. They had a rather large military exercise a couple of weeks ago that normally involved every year would usually involve the United States and Israel. This year, the U.S. declined to participate. Israel was disinvited, and instead, who sent their Air Force to participate but the Chinese? The Chinese are making inroads into the Middle East now. And that is really interesting.
That makes that Guam base even more interesting.
Right. But think about that from a prophetic standpoint. You think about the
200 million man
eggs from the east, right? So
this is a country that has said essentially you can have one child and that you get your choice, but what father in that culture is going to choose a girl over a boy? So you've got a lot of single boys, a lot of boys over there.
Yes. The ratio of men to women is way out of whack, and it's frankly because they're practicing female infanticide.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really astounding is that so many progressives don't understand that. I mean, Thomas Friedman, a columnist for the New York Times, and others, among others, has praised the enlightened government of China in its one-child policies. It's like, excuse me, do you not understand what they're doing with this one-child policy? They're basically condemning a large percentage of the infant girls to death because the farmers, the people out in the rural areas, look, economically, socially, you're better off with a male child than with a female child,
mm-hmm.
a male child who can grow up, work the farm, and support you when you get older, or at least that's the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why there's such a disparity. So what is there for the guys who aren't able to find a wife
exactly.
when they get to marry an age?
If you don't have a wife, then
you go to the army.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a good career in that. Either go mining or go into the military.
Yeah. Well, military is probably safer, frankly, at least in China. Well, yeah, it's... boy, a weird world out there. You know, the UFO meme still hasn't quite gone away from 1013.
It hasn't. Did you take a look at that story, Share International, the Michiki?
Benjamin Krem and the whole Maitreya thing? No,
yeah,
I really didn't.
I'm just butchering her name. I don't know. Michikaka or...
Oh, Michiko Ishikawa.
Michiko Ishikawa. Thank you very much.
She's...
She's going around and she's saying that the various signs we've seen, the star in the sky... And I don't know if she means by that, because that's one of them. According to Krem, there have been quite a number of stars.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are all signs from our space brothers.
Right.
And that Maitreya will be here soon to enlighten all of us.
Yeah. So where is she speaking now? And who is this Michiko Ishikawa?
Well, she's been working for Benjamin Krem for about 30 years.
Huh. Okay. Well.
I'd never heard of her before today. So I don't know if Krem is has decided that he's going to retire or if he's going to play a lesser role, because supposedly he is the one channeling this Maitreya being. And he says, or she said in her talk, that Maitreya has appeared on international, television, the airwaves, 25 times in disguise.
According to Krem, now Maitreya is in his 40s, roughly, and he lives in London, in the Indian community in London.
Yeah.
So.
Who is this guy that's been appearing 25 times? Is it Gordon Brown?
Probably not.
He's been more than 25 times. Let's see, who could it be 25 times?
I don't know. I'll have to do some thinking on that. We'll take suggestions at radio at peeringintodarkness.com.
Or just send me a note on Facebook.
Sure. But, again, the fact that anyone is willing to listen to Benjamin Krem at this point is a sad comment on the spiritual state of our culture. But yet there are people who still believe that Maitreya is here and is going to present a message. I mean, L.A. Marzulli talks about Maitreya and this whole message that Krem has been spreading for decades. There's still people out there buying what he's got to sell.
You know, I hate to say this, but there are a lot of people out there buying. And there are different flavors of it. They may not say, well, I don't believe Benjamin Krem, but they're really buying the Space Brothers thing. They're buying the we're going to, you know, ascend kind of thing. It's the Stargate stuff.
Yeah. And one of the guys who was the principal proponent of the whole Space Brother concept, one of the pioneers of the whole ancient astronaut meme, Zechariah Sitchin,
he just passed away.
Yeah.
Apparently he passed away on October 9, and I think it was only just today or just within the very recent few days that it was posted to his website by his family, and apparently they wanted a very private ceremony, and I don't blame them at all.
Right.
And, you know, I pray for the best for his family, for him. He certainly had views that I think that would honestly – would not get him to heaven unless he had a last-minute conversion to, you know, salvation through Jesus Christ, because he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we note the passing of Zechariah Sitchin, but sadly his influence has been rather substantial in deluding people, trying to answer one of the basic questions of human existence. Mm-hmm. Where do we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going? And sadly, Mr. Sitchin provided the wrong answers to those questions.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that he's passed away. Pakistan is late on their payments.
Really? To
the International Monetary Fund. You know, and here's where we get into conspiracy land. So if you have your tinfoil hats close to home, or your Krispy Kreme hats close to home,
that will do.
You might want to don those right now, because you're going to need them. We should cover these with the aluminum foil. Tinfoil Krispy Kreme hats. That will be done later on. the IMF has approached Pakistan and asked them where the sixth payment of their $11 billion IMF loan is. They're late on it. And this, honestly, I think one of the reasons they may be late, I don't know if they've been late in the past, but they've had horrendous flooding.
You know,
40% of their people have been flooded out.
Yeah. You know, we've not talked about that as much as we should, because the number of people is in the millions. As I saw at one point, the number of people homeless because of the flooding in Pakistan was upwards of 8 million.
And $9.7 billion in damages so far.
That is incomprehensible. I mean, here we, you know, lost New Orleans. And how many people were homeless? 800,000 maybe for – well, some are still, frankly, living in temporary homes provided by FEMA. But multiply that by a factor of 10, and that's what's happening in Pakistan. And those people didn't start off with as much.
No, they didn't.
And they don't have the government resources, which, you know, as disorganized as the government response was here in the U.S., it still was far greater than what the government of Pakistan is able to do.
Well, apparently the IMF is taking control right now and saying, well, you're late on your payment, therefore we're going to push harder on things that we want changed, as far as the way you construct your tax base. We want what they're calling the reformed general sales tax implemented. And these are people that don't have any money anyway, and to further tax them is just going to make it even worse.
Well, you just have to give us your people as collateral.
Exactly.
Yep.
We'll just be happy happy to take your land. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Next.
That's exactly what it is.
And the IMF, of course, is meeting right now. In fact, I think they just had their meeting last week. It's due to meet on Wednesday in Islamabad. How about that? But the G20 countries are also meeting right now. And you can bet that they're going to be talking about the IMF suggestion, strong suggestion, that we have a one world currency to help take care of all of the financial problems that we've had. In fact, Germany apparently is cheesed at the United States. Hmm. It's more than just the United States and the rest of the Western countries being cheesed at China because they will not let the yuan naturally go up.
Fluctuate, right.
Exactly. But we have kept the prime rate at a false 0 point
for way
too long.
That's what caused the bubble, and now we're supposed to fix it by making the rates even lower? In fact, there was a sale of treasury bills yesterday. This was kind of interesting.
Oh, I didn't read. See, you've got something I don't even have.
Yeah, well,
how'd you do that when you were at work?
Well, you know, I wasn't sleeping as well as I should have. So
that explains the glow from the side of your bed.
Yes, Instapaper.
I thought it was just because you're so cute.
Yes, I'm just radiant. Now I get the little Instapaper app for my iPod.
You do, and if you don't, if you do not go to our Instapaper site, you need to, and it's PIDRADIO, PID Radio. That is our username.
Yeah, but Treasury bills and these are a special category of bonds: Treasury inflation protected securities. The Treasury Department sold $10 billion of 5-year TIPS at a negative yield for the first time. Now, the reason this is significant, the yield on this particular security is bolted right there to the consumer price index. So when the CPI, when inflation goes up, the yield paid out on these bonds goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, but in order to get people to buy these, they had to offer them at a negative interest rate because the investors are betting that inflation is going to go up and the yield will go up. But in order to, you know, and essentially enough investors are betting that we're going to see fairly substantial inflation, that they were able to sell $10 billion worth of these Treasury inflation-protected securities at a negative yield. Because otherwise, why'd you go and buy a security that says we're going to pay out minus 2% over the next 5 years? No, you wouldn't.
Did it have an Energy Star label on it?
Yes, that's what got them in.
Green, green, green.
That, and they told them that they were powered by ethanol. So maybe the investors are powered by ethanol.
And corn sugar.
They're trading baseball cards. That's what powers our economy. They're equivalent of trading baseball cards.
You know, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's this all about with the tinfoil hat? Well, back to Pakistan and the flooding.
Yes.
There are some who believe, now I don't know that I've put myself in this category, but I'm certainly open to reading more about it. There are some who believe that maybe something caused that flood that was other than natural.
Yes, perhaps harp.
Harp.
Yeah, the one that the angels don't play. To convince Pakistan to play ball.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And now the IMF gets to come in as muscle and say, oh, I'm so sorry about all this flooding, but you still owe the money.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You could do a short sale. And I'd be happy to take it, but you know what? We've been told we can't do that.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like the international equivalent of William Shatner showing up with his buddy, the big deal, cracking his knuckles. You're going to pay us more. Well.
Or s'mores. We'll pay you some more. Well, our hearts go out to all the people in Pakistan, but sadly, it is a geopolitical world.
And they're caught.
One world. We are one world right now.
Yes, and they are sadly caught on the wrong side of the global elites who want to squeeze them because they are simply, in the minds of the elites, pawns on a chessboard.
I know.
Yep.
Well, we're out of time.
Yep. We'll be back again tomorrow, God willing, and we pray again that the weather, this inland hurricane, doesn't do too much wherever you are. Until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.